Lifts his ball to deep center field. Bellinger twisting around. Still going. He's at the wall.
Kelly Bellinger with a huge defensive play for the Dodgers last night. The Dodgers go on and win. They hold on 6-5. The final. Dodgers up 2-0 in the best of five series in the NLDS against the San Diego Padres, full of former Royals. The Tampa Bay Rays are now up 2-1. One win away from the ALCS as they beat the Yankees 8-4 yesterday. And the A's stay alive as they win game 3, 9-7 over the Astros. So the Astros lead 2-1, chance to close out in game 4. In Atlanta, they have played 4 baseball games in the postseason, and Atlanta's pitching staff has shut out the opponent 3 of those 4 games. That's a pretty good equation for success.
Yes.
It's a good formula. Braves win yesterday 2-0 over the Marlins. They lead 2-0. So here is the slate for games today. And a chance for some teams to punch their tickets. In fact, all 4 series could end today. The Braves at 108 on FS1 will have a chance to close out the Marlins. The Astros will try to close out the A's in Game 4 of their series at 225 today on TBS. This evening at 6:10, the Rays will try to end the Yankees season and try to finish it in 4 tonight. And the last game of the evening is on the Major League Baseball Network, if you get that. That's at 8:08. Dodgers going for the sweep of the Padres. So right now, it appears that it could very well be the Dodgers versus the Braves in the NLCS and the Rays and the Astros, possibly, in the ALCS. I'm okay with all that. I'd like to see the Astros lose since they cheated. I'm really very cool with the Rays winning. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I like to see the Padres knock off the Dodgers, but I almost feel like this is the year the Dodgers are going to get it done. They've been so close, and now, of course, if you believe in karma, the Astros cheated their way to a World Series a couple years ago. Dodgers didn't cheat, apparently. So it would maybe be karma if the Dodgers win it. Wouldn't it be funny if the Dodgers met the Astros in the World Series and the Dodgers beat them for redemption? We shall see how that works out. But the Braves are playing very good baseball right now, so we'll see how it works. But that's the slate today. 4 more games for you baseball junkies out there, and all 4 of those games could be the series clincher for 4 different squads out there. Local sports, Athletes of the Week, and more. Dusty.
Yes, Concordia Senior Wyatt Trost is the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week and put together an outstanding game in Concordia's 47-35 win over Clay Center in 3A district action this past Friday night. On offense, compiled 309 total yards, running the ball 19 times for 199 and 3 scores, and also going 9 of 12 for 110 yards and a touchdown passing. Led the Panther defense with 18 total tackles and had a fumble recovery. On the season for the 4-1 Panthers, Trost is 32 of 68 passing for 514 yards and 5 scores. Also added 508 yards on 66 carries with 7 rushing touchdowns, and leads Concordia's defense with 42 tackles and 3 sacks. So congratulations to Wyatt Trost, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. For more information on how you can nominate somebody, visit NCKSSports.com. Also at the website, the full Kansas Volleyball Association rankings for this week have been released. And in Class 2A, Smith Center is number 3 this week in those rankings from the area. And in 1A Division 1, Sylvan Lucas number 7 and Thunder Ridge number 9. One other area league team that's in the rankings is in Class 3A. Phillipsburg is number 8 this week in those rankings. Again, the full rankings at the website, NCKSSports.com. Coming up today, high school volleyball. Beloit competing at the Hoisington Triangular. And you can watch those matches online, video stream at NCKSSports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel. They'll play Hoisington around 4 o'clock. They're at 4 o'clock, and then around 5 o'clock, they'll play Heston here this evening in the Triangular in Hoisington. Also, St. John's, Tipton, Concordia, and Russell competing at the Russell Triangular. Everything begins at 4 o'clock this afternoon there. And then across country, the Lincoln Invitational this afternoon at 4 o'clock, Lakeside, Osborne, Thunder Ridge, Lincoln, and Sylvan Lucas from the area competing there. And Smith Center Cross Country is at the Phillipsburg Invitational at 4:30 this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on as far as local sports today. We also remind everybody we have our high school football locker room chats games coming up tonight. As we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. Those begin between 5:10 and 5:15 this evening on Katy Country 94. And you can also always listen online at katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss our Locker Room Chats, they're posted on the podcast at the website as well. So Locker Room Chats this evening for our Thursday edition.
All right. NFL and COVID, Stephon Gilmore, outstanding player for the New England Patriots. He has COVID-19, tested positive yesterday, and there is a video out there showing Patrick Mahomes talking with him for a short, quick period of time after the game, and then people, of course, Kansas City freaking out about all of that. The Chiefs, all their tests came back negative again today, so that's good. The Raiders had a positive yesterday, but all the rest of Raiders players are negative. Raiders Chiefs still on for this Sunday, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake. Pregame 11 a.m., kickoff at noon. Chiefs and the Raiders, first time the Chiefs have kicked off at noon. They've been either late afternoon or on prime time Monday night, whatever the case may be. And actually, the Charger game was late afternoon. The other ones have been evening games. So this is going to be kind of a little bit different on Sunday when the Chiefs take on the Raiders. And they have the short week and they go to Buffalo. We'll focus on that coming up on Monday. But Patrick Mahomes talks about getting together with Stephon Gilmore after the game.
I think you just have to trust in the process and the protocols that are set in place. I mean, obviously, knowing that I went up to him after the game and just gave him the high five like I've done my whole career and not thinking about it. It was a little bit of a mental lapse, just trying to show sportsmanship and stuff like that. But, I feel like the protocols in place are good, and I just have to trust in that, wear my mask, do whatever Rick and them say, and then just trust in we don't all know what's happening in this world this time, but just accept the challenge every single day of being in the best place I can be to be available for the team.
If that's the worst mental lapse that Patrick Mahomes has, I think he'll be doing all right in his world. But he is, of course, trying to protect his fiance, who is now pregnant with their first child, so he is doing what he needs to do to protect them.
And it's something that I think about every day. I mean, you have to think about that with her being pregnant and kind of that high-risk category. And so I just try to do my best, especially after finding out Jordan was positive. Obviously, we stayed 6 feet apart, and our meeting rooms are set up to where we're far enough apart or he's in the virtual meetings or whatever that situation is. But when I went home over the weekend, I slept in a different bedroom and stayed away from her as much as possible. And so I've kind of gotten these negative tests back. And so I just try to do my part to kind of keep myself away from her and social distance whenever stuff like this arises. But the only thing good about being here every single day, I get tested every single day. So it's good at keeping track of where I'm at.
So there you have it. That's what Patrick Mahomes is doing to try to stay away from COVID-19. They get tested almost every day. And now, of course, with the Chiefs having a positive there recently with their scout team quarterback, they've been tested. Once again, all their results today for the testing for the Chiefs players, all negative, so that's good. The Patriots, all negative tests today as well after Stephon Gilmore tested positive yesterday. But there is a problem with the Tennessee Titans, as Tennessee Titans, they have another player that's tested positive for COVID-19. This released this morning. So the Tennessee Titans facility remains closed. The most recent positive test makes it 13 Titans players who tested positive for COVID-19 since September 24th. And with the positive test trickling in one or two by day, Tennessee hasn't been in their facility since the Week 3 game against the Vikings. The NFL postponed the Titans-Steelers game scheduled for last Sunday until Week 7. And with the Titans' bye burn last week and the Bills set to play next Thursday night, the league is in a tough spot trying to figure out how to play the game given the positive test results continue. The league is reviewing and trying to concoct a pathway to play the game, but beyond it adding an additional week at the end of the year, the options are thin. The NFL sent a memo to the teams this week noting that violations of the COVID-19 protocol could result in losing draft picks and potential forfeitures of games. While the league has tried to avoid the forfeit route thus far, it's possible it becomes the only option. One reporter says, was told yesterday a forfeit hadn't been discussed for the Titans. Have to wonder if that changes as the situation continues. Possibly a second game impacted. No place to put a rescheduled game unless they create a Week 18. A mess that's created a lot of anger around the league. Big Ben Roethlisberger of the Steelers upset because now of not playing that game, that basically took their bye week early, and now they got to play 13 straight games without a bye week. He said they got the short end of the stick. Listen, I understand where Big Ben's coming from, but at the same time, he's got to understand this is a unique year, and so you're playing football.
Yeah.
So You know what? Guys have played before when there are no bye weeks back in the day. So I don't feel too sorry for Big Ben Roethlisberger. He'll be okay. And they did get a bye week. I mean, they did. It's just earlier than they would have anticipated. So you at least got something. But I understand where he's coming from. It's going to be a little bit tougher for them. At no fault of their own. Supposedly some Titans players got together with some unauthorized workouts, and they believe that's where maybe some of this started to spread. And thus, one team not being very careful ends up violating protocols. Even if the coaches told them what to do and the players still defied that, then what happens is that affects the Steelers. Now that affects the Bills. Now that affects the Bills and the Chiefs game, and that affects the Chiefs. I mean, see how this trickles down? Mm. Because the Vikings were affected, the Titans were affected, and then, of course, the Ravens and Steelers had to move their game to a different week to allow Titans and Steelers to be rescheduled. And now what do you do with the Bills situation? I mean, this might work out to where the Bills-Chiefs game might get moved back to next Sunday instead of next Thursday. And maybe not. I don't know. But right now the Bills are sitting here going, do we prepare for the Titans or do we go ahead and turn the page and prepare for the Chiefs? And if they are told today that this game isn't going to happen this weekend, because, I mean, how did the Titans practice? I mean, how do they play a game if they haven't been allowed in the facilities yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how they're going to play a game against the Bills, and the Bills are undefeated. The Titans are off to a 3-0 start, but didn't play last week, so it disrupts their season. And some of those players that did those unauthorized workouts, now, by the way, let's make this clear, it wasn't Lou Williams going to a strip club violating the bubble protocols of the NBA. They were working out. So it's just that they try to get in some extra workouts, whatever they think's helping the team, but in a roundabout way, it hurt the team, obviously, and other teams in this league. And so if you blatantly violate the protocols, I think the NFL is left with you have to forfeit a game. Because if we can't schedule it, then we want the records to be as equal as possible. So if you're the one that violate all these protocols, you're going to lose draft picks first time, and the next time you might have to forfeit a game. But here's the problem I have, and Curtis Siebold talked about the other day, and I thought he made a good point. I know why the NFL did what they did. But Curtis Siebold said, listen, the NFL could have easily made this a 12-game season. They could have just eliminated the non-con games. So, like, the Chiefs playing the Saints and the Buccaneers, okay, that division. You just wouldn't worry about those four games. You have played 12 games, and you have a bye every quarter. So you have... after week four, bye week. After week eight, bye week. And then you got a bye week after the 12th game. And the reason he said that, and it makes sense, is that you would then have three built-in bye weeks. So you would have flexibility for a situation like this that has risen. And right now they don't have much room for error because the NFL didn't allow for that. You know, the college football has allowed for it. The Big 12 has allowed for it, but the NFL did not allow for it. And that's with the fact that they didn't even have any preseason games. So I don't know if the NFL can change their schedule a little bit to add a few weeks at the end for makeup games. And what happens if 26 of the teams have all their games done and then there's six teams and three games that need to be replayed? They got to play a game and then everybody else gets the week off. You know, that's going to be somewhat of a disadvantage, but it's going to be that way no matter how you look at it. I mean, right now, the Saints wanted to get fans, and New Orleans said no fans. So the Saints are a disadvantage by not having any fans at home games. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the Packers-Saints game. The Chiefs have an advantage by getting 16,000 fans at Arrowhead, but most NFL teams are not having any fans whatsoever. The Chiefs have benefited by going to Baltimore and not have to worry about crowd noise. Yeah. So there's already disadvantages and advantages in this whole COVID-19 situation with the National Football League. So I don't get too riled up or worried about Big Ben whining and complaining about it. I do understand where he's coming from. I also understand that you're going to have to mix and match and try to get all these games in the best you can. And Curtis Siebold had a great idea, but as I told him, I said, Curtis, I said, it's about money. You know that. It's about money. It's about as many games as you can get. And he goes, yeah, I totally get that. He goes, but it's not like the NFL has to have that money and the owners are billionaires. You know, what would it be to sacrifice four games for the betterment of getting the whole season in? And that's a good point. That's a good point. Like, people are greedy. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's a billion-dollar industry, multi-billion-dollar industry in the National Football League. So the more, and especially you don't have fans at the stands and in most of these stadiums, then you're going to try to get as many games in and have as many games on for TV and keep the ratings going and keep these TV deals going. So it all comes back to what we talked about at the very beginning when it came to college football, when we talked about the NCAA tournament. Is it money over health, or is it health over money, or is it somewhere in between depending on which week it is? The NFL has not been super clear as to how many players does it take for you not to be able to play. College football is not very clear about that either, to be quite honest. And I'm not criticizing either institution because I don't know what the right answer is. There is no precedent to go back and say, oh, this is how it's done, because back in 1984, there was this pandemic, and this is how it was done, and this is where people messed up, and here's what people did right. We can learn from that. The bubble for the NBA has worked really, really well, but I'm going to tell you right now, players can't wait to get the heck out of there so they can see their families, because they've been stuck there for a very long time. So the Lakers and the Heat are sacrificing a lot from the standpoint of family. And now they got some family here now, but for a long time they didn't have any. And they're still not in their own homes and their own beds for quite some time. The bubble has worked, but it has also been pretty taxing on the players mentally that are still there trying to perform at the highest level. The NFL, a bubble won't work. First of all, NBA, you play multiple games every other day in the playoffs or every day. NBA Finals every other day. By the way, Game 5 tomorrow night, Lakers Heat, Lakers chance to clinch it. They're having 2 days off between Game 4 and Game 5. But the NFL, you can't do that. I mean, you have one game a week, and you're going to put all these guys in a bubble from Vegas, basically August 1st. I know the games don't start until September, but August 1st. And you're going to do that all the way for the Super Bowl champion, which is early February. We're talking August, September, November, December, January. We're talking 5 months and a week. That's a long time to be in a bubble, man.
Yeah, it's
just not logical or really that plausible for the NFL to do it. Now, college basketball is going to try to do it in some cases. And that works because they have a tournament. They can play every day for 4 days, be in a bubble, and then go. But it doesn't work in the NFL. And so I've heard people say, bubble? How the heck are you going to do it? Where are the games going to be played? Where are you going to house all these players? And by the way, there's more players on a team than there is in the NBA. There's more support staff.
You add up all the support staff, players, coaches in the NBA, it's probably less than just the players for football.
Oh, no question. No question.
I mean, you're not talking about the 15 to 20 when you talk about coaches and training staff, medical staff, everybody that has to go, you know, equipment staff. They don't just show up with their pads and helmets on, okay?
I would say you're looking at roughly 100.
Yeah,
per team. And the NBA, you're probably looking at maybe 30.
Yeah, and hockey 35. They said hockey had 50 when they did theirs, and they had two hub cities.
Right.
And so, you know, NBA's probably got, probably about 30 to 35, I would think. You know, just training staff, coaches, all that stuff involved. But
And baseball's doing the playoffs in a bubble, but they're in different cities, and they're only having a few teams. So that's not as hard on the hotels and everything else anywhere else you got to think about.
It's just not something you can do for football.
Do you think an NFL team, if they can't play a game because they get COVID, whether it's at their fault for violating protocols or not their fault, do you think they should have to forfeit?
I think the Titans should have to forfeit this game.
I agree with you.
Against the Bills.
I agree with
you. Because it's clearly they violated protocol.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one...
Yeah, there's photo evidence.
And everybody followed everything the right way, then I feel like try to get some situation where you can try to get it in or... you know, like it's not the other team's fault either, so you can't really punish them by saying, hey, make it a tie or something like that. You know, you can't really do that, I don't feel like, because it's not the other team's fault. But
I agree with you.
I feel like the Titans should have to forfeit if they clearly violated protocols.
Which it sounds
because there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing built in anymore for them to be able to make it up.
And the longer you go in the season, more and more, once the bye week is in the rearview mirror, you've got no flexibility.
Yeah.
So it's going to get worse as you go later, and that's when the weather's going to get colder, and then you got the battle of flu versus COVID, and this was the fear with football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Big Ten was kind of, you know, backed out, and all of a sudden pressure, and now back in. The Chiefs-Raiders coming up. Derek Carr, I like his point. This reminds me of Bob Huggins. Derek Carr says, on the rivalry with the Chiefs, to make it a rivalry, we have to win some games against them. Remember what Bob Huggins said when he came to K-State? It's not really a rivalry until we start beating KU.
Yeah.
He was right. In a weird way, he's right. I mean, it's still a rivalry, but, you know, the KU-K-State football rivalry isn't really a rivalry. And the KU-K-State basketball series is more of a rivalry in football because, you know, you have a little bad blood and the DeSosa incident last year and so forth and so on. But it's still not nearly the rivalry that Missouri and Kansas was, because Missouri will beat Kansas from time to time. K-State doesn't beat KU very often. And same thing applies here. KU doesn't obviously beat K-State in football, so I don't see how there's a really great rivalry there. And then the Chiefs-Raiders, I mean, the Chiefs own the AFC West. I mean, you could argue the Chiefs-Broncos is a rivalry right now either. The Chiefs won 9 in a row against the Broncos.
Yeah,
and the Chiefs just own the Chiefs' toughest rival right now is, well, honestly, over the last 5-6 years, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Yeah.
And then maybe the Ravens, because they've played each of the last 3 years now, but they haven't met in the playoffs. They have, and the Patriots Chiefs have met in the playoffs a couple of times. But the Raiders, Derek Carr always plays poorly and throws picks, and the Chiefs usually win, and usually fairly easily. And so that's who the Chiefs play this weekend, the Raiders.
Yeah. It's just, you know, historical stuff for you and me, Broncos and Raiders. You know, there were rivalry games, you know, when we started watching. And you know, there was a lot of hatred, and there always has been hatred between the Chiefs and Raiders. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Marty loved Raider Week, man. Yeah, he circled down the calendar.
But now for kids like that are 9 to 10 years old, they have no idea that the Raiders and Chiefs.
No.
Like every time they play, they're like, Chiefs beat them all the time. What's the big deal?
What's the big rivalry? Yeah, no, I get that, no doubt.